Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here that we're going to be diving into. And we look forward to just that. But folks, when it comes to all of this, I got to say, when it comes to the threat, when it comes to the CCP threat, it's obviously very concerning. And those who are currently over at the White House right now, they are on high alert regarding all of this. And so it's refreshing to hear that the secretary, the nomination to run the DHS secretary, Mark Wayne Mullen, is someone who is hyper-focused on the CCP threat. And I love to hear that. Because it's something that we don't talk about quite often. We know that the Biden regime sold us out. They sold us out. And there was a story that I was going to get to you guys as we shuffle through all the papers in regards to it. New information coming out about the Biden regime. The Biden DOD gave a $130 million defense contract to a company called Joby. It's a company that has ties to the CCP. And it's resulted in a lawsuit being filed regarding that. Archer Aviation has filed that lawsuit against the company. And they say that they were actually concealing their extensive ties to the Chinese supplier. Now, again, it's very likely, and this is what we do, of course, to our own people. We really, really, really just screw our own country over. But the Biden DOD signing and purchasing $130 million from this company. It's an absolute disgrace, but not surprising. Matt Boyle from Breitbart is going to be joining us in just a few moments. I look forward to talking to him about all of this. He's obviously got a lot to discuss because, well, he sat down and did actually speak with Mullen. He actually just released that interview. It's actually quite the interesting interview. I learned a lot from it. I thought I was someone who knew everything it was to know about the CCP. Well, no. Mullen drops a lot of gems in that interview, and I look forward to having Matt on in just a moment to discuss it. Again, we're going to be walking you through the latest on the Epstein files, as well as I actually reached out to the Pentagon about a TMZ report claiming that the Pentagon has spent millions of dollars on steak, lobster, ribeye, salmon, and $124,000 on ice cream machines. So I asked the Pentagon for contacts. And if there's an ice cream machine that they've just put in the Pentagon, I'd like to know what floor it's on. So when I go to their report, I know where to go. Okay, I didn't ask about that. I thought that might be a little unprofessional. But I love a good ice cream machine. And if they spend $124,000 on that ice cream machine, chances are it's a really good ice cream machine. So I'm hoping it's somewhere at the Pentagon. I'll find it, though. I'll find it. We'll also dive into Ed Martin, who's now being targeted again. This guy just like, because he's so great at his job, that everyone that you and I know is trying to destroy this country, they go after him. The DC bar, which is obviously a group of liberal hacks, right? We've seen them go after so many incredible patriots like Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark. That's what they do. They target those who are trying to help the president. Well, obviously, Ed Martin is the attorney for President Trump, and so they're going after him. I'll walk you through the very latest on that front. Todd Blanche is responding too. And remember, Todd Blanche is or was a Democrat, however you want to put that. So he's responding to it and saying, yeah, I mean, even for me, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be a member of the DC bar. So I'll walk you through that update in just a little bit. By the way, and I can't wait to talk to Matt about this, John Cornyn has just released an op-ed. It's over in the New York Post right now. And within that op-ed, he's going after his fellow Republicans and telling them, look, let's just toss out the filibuster. Why is he talking about that and passing the Save America Act? Well, because he got a little ultimatum. If Republicans do just that, Ken Paxton said he'd drop out of the race. And so if you're someone like John Cornyn right now, who obviously is hated by so many, you'd want him to drop out. By the way, I ratioed John Cornyn yesterday by just telling him that everyone hates you, John, in one of his posts. And I got like thousands of more likes than anything John Cornyn's ever posted. If you ever want to watch someone get ratioed pretty badly, go to Cornyn's Twitter page. It's bad. It's real bad. We'll be right back.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexshowstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexshowstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexshowstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all here today joining us. A lot to dive into. Matt Boyle will be joining me in just a moment to kind of walk us through a little bit of what's going down right now. I wanted to go over this, though. I wanted to go over specifically what's happening right now. Well, what will be happening in just a few moments, and I think Monday is the day officially, when the Senate will take up Mark Wayne Mullen. Now, as many of you guys know, he's a U.S. senator currently, but he's actually going to be replacing, if he gets his way, President Trump, he will be replacing DHS Secretary Kristi Noem. And that's something, obviously, that's been very controversial. Obviously, Noem didn't have a very good couple of hearings when she testified in front of the Senate and then the House. Didn't go well for her. So she has been, we'll say, demoted. I know a lot of people are saying she's fired, but I wouldn't say that because she's been given a new position. So it's not exactly a firing. I'd say it's a demotion, though, for sure. But Mark Wayne Mullen has been hyper-focused on the CCP threat. And I thought it was quite interesting because he sat down with Breitbart and he actually did a really impressive interview where he details the CCP threat itself and how the CCP has a long-term 100-year plan to pretty much just have global dominance. Now, obviously, many of you at home are probably familiar with the Belt and Road Initiative. But Mullen does a great job at walking the American people through just that. And Matt, who joins us now, he's the D.C. Bureau Chief for Breitbart. He was the one who sat down with Mullen. And so we're excited to have Matt on the show today to walk us all through this. Matt, thank you for being here. It's, of course, an honor to have you on the show. You have your pulse on everything related to Washington, D.C., so we look forward to this discussion. I wanted to start off with this one because our audience is well aware of the CCP threat. And I love how you and Mullen sat down and you did this interview. It's an extensive interview, but it's for those who maybe don't understand the CCP threat. He walks you through their 100-year plan to have just complete global dominance here in the U.S. So for our audience, which I highly recommend you guys head on over to Breitbart to watch the full interview. Again, it was a great discussion that you two had. Walk us through the threat and how he sees it.
Yeah, well, and amazingly, by the way, a little behind the scenes on this is that we did the interview before the president picked him to lead DHS, and we were planning to release it a little closer to the president's trip to China, which is upcoming in early April. Kind of a curveball here in the timing. So we had to move it up and move quickly when the president picked Senator Mullen to replace Secretary Noem as the Secretary of Homeland Security. But the gist of it is that I've been talking to Senator Mullen about this in other interviews. We always get sidetracked on it. Because it's such an important topic. So I've been talking to him about going into his Senate office and doing a big, hour-long on-camera long-form special where this is the main topic. And so we finally were able to make it happen in early February. And the gist of it is that the Chinese Communist Party has been engaged in this decades-long plan to essentially take over the world. What they're doing is they have the Belt and Road Initiative, where they're essentially trying to recreate the old Silk Road and create on-ramps and off-ramps that all the roads basically lead back to China. The way they look at it in China is that the center of the world is in Beijing, and that what they're trying to do is use their influence. What they engage in what we call debt diplomacy, where they come in and they offer these you know, what seems originally to some of these poorer countries like really lucrative terms to build them infrastructure like ports or airports or railways or all sorts of different things. And then what ends up happening is the countries can't pay. A lot of African countries, Latin American countries, Asian countries, they can't pay the terms of the deal. So then the Chinese end up taking it over, and they end up owning the port that they built in these various countries, and then they can control. They have geopolitical control through the waterways, through the seaways, through the trade lanes on land. And essentially it helps them build a global hegemony, because what ends up happening is these poor countries end up in so much debt to them. And China was making some real serious progress in the lead up to the COVID pandemic. And they were breaking into Europe, into places like Greece and Italy and whatnot. Now we're starting to see in both of those countries. I've actually gone to both of those countries. I was just in that Greece and Italy in the middle of February. I have a lot of stories coming from both of those places about exactly this as well. But the point is that since COVID, we've seen a lot of the rest of the world move away from them. A big focus of our interview too is on Latin America, and you just saw President Trump with the Shield of the Americas summit bring together all of these Latin American leaders. And by the way, that's where Chrissy Noem is going next, right? Like, she's going to be the special envoy to this Shield of the Americas initiative of the president. So it's technically, I guess, a demotion because it's not a cabinet position. But the point is that it's as important, because it's about stopping China from building the influence in the Western Hemisphere. Obviously, one of the biggest things that we've seen President Trump do since his return to the White House has been getting American companies back in control of the Panama Canal. Mm-hmm. The Chinese had bought the companies that were running both sides of the Panama Canal, so they would be able to, in a wartime, for instance, or in a trade escalation, be able to block American ships, whether those are Navy ships or trade ships, etc., from being able to make it through the canal, which is an extremely important waterway that can, you know, connect the Western world with the Eastern world, or for the East Coast with the West Coast, because then they don't have to sail all the way down around South America. It cuts off 2 weeks of travel time, but a lot of this is about seaways and about trade lanes and shipping routes and geopolitical control. Another big thing we talked about was Taiwan. So again, this wasn't an interview like planning that he was going to be the DHS secretary. Mm-hmm. Just kind of the timing worked out that way. But I do think that it is illustrative in that it shows just how deeply incoming secretary, current Senator Mullen, has been focused on the threats to our national security, and particularly China, which is our greatest adversary, during his time in public office. And so I think he'll be well prepared, at least on this front, to take over at the Department of Homeland Security.
Yeah, Matt, and it sounds like that was probably one of the key factors in President Trump asking Mullen to take over for this position, because I think he understands it better than anyone, the president. He understands the CCP threat, and we've seen him constantly going out there and doing things that I think a lot of Americans don't understand what he's doing. You know, the focus on the rare earth minerals and the semiconductors has been a big one for him. I kind of want you to walk through it, or walk our audience through all of this, because you also detailed the CCP trying to replace the U.S. dollar as well as the world's reserve currency. You also go into detail as well about Huawei as well, and the infrastructure issues there. And as you mentioned, also the Taiwan semiconductors. This is all related, and this is a key element to this. I think a lot of people too, when I used to work over at Fox, a lot of people thought the rare mineral segments we do were a total snooze fest. I was probably the only one really interested in this, because I knew that this was a big issue for Americans and we just didn't care to look at it. But the president seems to get just that. So what did you learn from your interview with the senator about how he views all of that, as the and the role, I guess, it plays in the 100-year plan to take over the global dominance, I guess I should say.
Well, I mean, that's what a country that's going to try to take over the world and supplant the United States as the world's sole superpower.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what they would do, right? Like they would have their currency replace the yen, replace the dollar. They would be taking control of the mining and refining of various rare earth minerals in places like Africa and elsewhere around the world. They would be controlling energy. A big part of energy makes the world go round. We see this with the Iran war right now, where the Strait of Hormuz is so important, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you can't get the ships through there, the oil price goes up to north of $100 a barrel. And that's what happened over the weekend. Right. Like, and then the thanks to our friends in Greece, by the way, it was able to they got a Greek ship through and they were able to bring the price back down. But the point is that energy is everything. It makes the world go round. And this is a place where China is particularly weak. They don't have the energy domestically in China that they need to be able to accomplish these ends. And that is why. And this is one of the things that Senator Mullen explained in this interview, that a lot of what President Trump is doing, whether it's Venezuela, whether it's Iran, and again, this interview was taped before the Iran war started, but whether it's China, whether it's Iran, whether it's all these other places, a lot of the actions that the president is taking right now are designed to counter China on energy. And it's worth noting that when the night that the president authorized the capture of Nicolas Maduro, literally that night, a senior Chinese delegation had touched down in Caracas in Venezuela. And look, the president's not blocking China from buying energy at market price. What was happening, though, is that the Chinese were, through their geopolitical deals with communist allies around the world, like Venezuela, or with terrorist countries like the leading exporter of terrorism, Iran, they were getting significant discounts on the exports or the Chinese imports of their energy products, and so like 30-40% off type of deal. That is coming to an end, and I think that's a big part of what's going on in Venezuela. That's a big part of what's going on in Iran. Is it's about stopping China from getting the energy that they need to be able to accomplish this objective. So that's one of the big things that we talked about there. I think that what the senator did here is really connect the dots. I don't think I can point to another interview with a major elected official where they have really laid it out as clearly as Senator Mullen did here. And my hope is that this gets more people talking about different elements of it, because to your point, they're all interconnected. And I you'll hear different lawmakers talk about different parts of these things, mm-hmm. but you'll never hear anybody really connect all the dots as clearly as this. And so my hope is that this is the beginning of something bigger, where you start seeing people really clearly connecting these dots and understanding the bigger picture.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a top priority for this administration as well. And we look forward to seeing it. I know over at the FBI, they were really concerned about the CCP threat, and they've actually made a bunch of arrests here on U.S. soil regarding people that they deem are a threat to our national security and working for the Chinese Communist Party. So we'll keep our eye on that. I wanted to pivot a little bit, though, because we all are well-versed on the Save America Act these days, because President Trump doesn't stop pushing for it. And it's been interesting. He's trying to create a pressure campaign to get the Senate to do its job, and that is to push it through and to pass it. And that's something that they've really been unwilling to do. Now, we heard from the speaker yesterday, John Thune, actually, was discussing just that in clip 14. Take a listen.
We don't have the votes either to proceed, get on a talking filibuster, nor to sustain one if we got on it. But that is just a function of math. And there isn't anything I can do about that. I mean, I understand the president's got a passion to see this issue addressed, as we all do.
Does he understand that, though?
Well, we've conveyed that to him, but we will continue to make that argument, because I think it's important that everybody understand that this really is about It's about the votes. It's about the math. And I'm for better or worse, I'm the one who has to be the clear-eyed realist about what we can achieve here. And so we'll continue to convey that. And I think that we're going to have the fight on the floor. We're going to vote on this. We're going to put it up, and we'll give the Democrats the opportunity to cast their vote on whether or not they think non-citizens ought to vote in American elections.
All right, that vote's expected to be had next week, it looks like. How do you think that's going to go for Republicans?
Well, they're gonna have a majority of senators vote for the Save America Act, right? So it'll be in the 50s. The problem is that the current Senate rules require it to be 60 votes to be able to pass legislation if it isn't reconciliation. And so the fact of the matter is that Thune's not wrong when he says that they don't have the votes to and that it's a math question about nuking the filibuster or changing the Senate rules to be able to lower the threshold down to a simple majority, which is what they should do. Frankly, the Democrats are going to do that as soon as they get the majority back one day. They fully intend to change the get rid of the filibuster, and the Republicans are just tying two hands behind their back by opposing this. Now, the latest development today, this morning, is that Senator John Cornyn, the four-term, seeking a fifth term in the United States Senate. He's been in the Senate for 24 years. He's 74 years old. Is it now come out magically after his entire life? And by the way, he was literally saying the exact same thing. John Cornyn was, like, a week ago, that Thune is saying now. And again, it's not inaccurate, right? Like, to point out, they do not have the votes to do this. But the point is that Cornyn just came out and now says he supports trying to change the Senate rules to be able to get this done. Okay, fine. But the point here is that Cornyn knows who the votes are. He used to be the whip in the Senate Republican Conference, right? So he used to be the Senate GOP whip for like 6 or 7 years. The point is that he knows which senators support this and which ones don't. They won't tell us who supports it and who doesn't. We have to rely on the members themselves coming forward and saying one way or the other. If Cornyn actually supported the position that he says he now supports, what he would do is take the information that we know he has because he was the Senate GOP whip, and he would release it to the public so that everybody could see where each senator stands. So right now, Cornyn is keeping a secret whip list in his desk that he won't release to the American public and to the voters of Texas, because and one could argue that Cornyn doesn't actually support the position that he now says he supports, because he knows that there's enough other votes from other senators to block what it is that he now says he supports. So he's just doing it out of desperation to try to get President Trump to endorse him. President Trump was pretty much set to endorse him after the primary last week. But what's happened since then is there have been a number of revelations about John Cornyn over the course of this week. And Ken Paxton, the attorney general of Texas and the other candidate who's also in the runoff against Cornyn, has made the Save America Act passage the centerpiece of his campaign. What's happened is President Trump has moved off of endorsing Cornyn. Now, I mean, I can tell you my sources in the Trump political universe say the president is not happy with John Cornyn and is not happy with all of this. So what's happening right now is that Cornyn is desperate to try to get back in Trump's good graces, because the only prayer of a chance that Cornyn has of defeating Ken Paxton is that Trump endorses him. But that's no surefire guarantee either, even if President Trump endorses Cornyn. And look, I am somebody who believes the president's endorsement is the most powerful tool in American political history. I don't think we've ever had anything like it, and I don't think we ever will again. But the polling data seems to suggest that doesn't even give Cornyn a clear fire path to defeating Ken Paxton. So, but all of this right now that you're seeing from Cornyn is kabuki theater. What he's trying to do is he's desperately trying to get the president back on his side. He lost the president over the last week, right? All the things that have come out about Cornyn, siding with people like Lisa Monaco, siding with people like Merrick Garland, and all the James Comey, all the weaponization against President Trump. Cornyn voted for Samantha Power for the United Nations. I mean, like, all of this stuff that's come out over the course of the last week has just been devastating. Cornyn fell for every single hoax against President Trump, from the Russia hoax all the way through all the stuff about the J6 people, etc. It's just he sided with Jack Smith against President Trump. So all of that stuff, Cornyn's lost the president. So now Cornyn's desperately trying to get the president back. So that's what's going on here. Right. Like, and all of this is kabuki theater by senators. But again, if Cornyn really supported the position that he now claims to have claims to support and come around on, he would release his secret whip list that he has in his desk right now, which we all know he has because he was the Senate Republican whip. And he knows where every single senator in the Republican conference is on nuking the filibuster and getting rid of it, so that way they can pass things like the Save America Act. But Cornyn won't do that. He won't release the secret whip list because he's there. He's using the fact that the other senators oppose it, and he knows there's enough of them to just try to trick people into thinking that he's with the president.
Yeah, and Matt, you know, you and I on X, we go back and forth, and we're constantly posting all the bad things that John Cornyn has said and done over these last few years. And it's quite obvious that this is not an ally of the president. But I think it's funny in his op-ed that he writes specifically, the New York Post got their hands on this. And of course, he's trying to do his very best by giving it to a right-leaning outlet. But he says, you know, now he's calling for Senate Republicans to adopt whatever changes may need approval just to pass the president's Save America bill. And again, this is hilarious to me because he's someone who stood in the way of all of this. I mean, he's the one who won't even confirm President Trump's own picks. He stood in the way of a lot of that. He's trashed them through the media as well. So we got about a minute left. Do you think John Cornyn has any shot at winning this? I mean, they spent over, what is it, nearly $100 million just to get him in the runoff race. Do you think Ken Paxton's going to back down? Do you think that they're going to keep at this? Like, where do you see this all heading to?
Well, I far be it from me to predict the future. But, like, again, Cornyn is desperate to get President Trump's endorsement. He needs that to survive, right? Like, if he gets Trump's endorsement, anything's possible. But the point is that I would say that all the energy right now is with Ken Paxton. I could see the president endorse Ken Paxton. I know the president likes Ken Paxton a lot, right? Like, so I don't know what the president's going to do. I haven't spoken to the president, so I can't tell you what he's thinking. So I don't know. I've talked to people around him, but so we'll see. So, but if I were Ken Paxton, I'd keep fighting because I think that Ken Paxton's winning right now.
Yeah, I think he is. I think the people are on his side. And I love, it's a hobby of mine these days, going to John Cornyn's Twitter page and looking at how everyone like ratios the guy. I've never seen anything like it before in my life, but it's an insane amount of just like people commenting and going after him for just being absolutely disrespectful to his base, his constituents in Texas. And there's very few likes on his posts. And it just goes to show that I think that once we get down to the gritty of all of this, I don't think he's going to win his election. So we'll see. Matt, thank you for all the incredible work you do. Again, for our audience right now, over at Breitbart, their website right now, you can actually watch that full interview with Mullen. It's available right now. It's about 38 minutes, I think. So definitely go and do that. You'll learn a lot. I learned a lot. And we're very grateful for you to put this out, especially early, because now we could all know what we're getting into as we head into this confirmation hearing. So, Matt, thank you for all the incredible work you do over at Breitbart News Network. We greatly appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to discuss in just a moment. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go anywhere, it should be thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, we have the March Mega Sale going on right now to 40% off your favorite supplements over at the shop. Make sure you head on over there and do just that. All right, Epstein's next. Don't go anywhere.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on all the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, trying to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
All right, let's dive back into the news headlines that we've gathered for you. Before we do, though, let me just let y'all know I will be taking your calls in just a few moments. If you'd like to join the show in the third hour program, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be discussing the topics we've talked about thus far, of course. That is the number you're going to want to call into if you'd like to join the show. 877-789-2539 is that number. All right, let's give you an update regarding Jeffrey Epstein and the latest to come out of these emails. As many of you guys know, we've talked about the emails regarding that New Mexico ranch. And, it's believed to be that there might be two deceased girls somewhere buried on the property. And the property is massive. It's thousands and thousands of acres. It's the Zorro Ranch property. And right now, as many of you guys know, you might have saw yesterday, New Mexico authorities, including police and the Department of Justice, launched a major search of that property, which, according to the emails, say that potentially two girls were allegedly strangled during rough sex and their bodies were potentially buried here. Now, again, this was a anonymous 2019 email that claimed that the former ranch worker that described the deaths and the burials were ordered by Jeffrey Epstein and possibly Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, there's also additional claims tying the ranch to human experiments that were going on, non-consensual medical procedures, drugging, organ harvesting, and other horrific, horrific activities. That was based on a tip that came late last year as well. Now, again, the property is 7,500 acres. It was sold in 2023 and has been linked, of course, to both Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein, and the trafficking claims that were made by Virginia Gouffray as well. So that's what happened yesterday. So we'll see what comes from that. Again, I mean, this is a massive property. So this will likely take a very long time for them to search for all of these potential dead bodies that were buried there. But it highlights, again, the frustrations. And the fact that the DOJ is there doesn't really give me any confidence at all. Actually, I'd rather local law enforcement be the ones leading all of this. Don't even let the feds in there. Why? Well, because the feds and local law enforcement were apparently both investigating these claims, and local law enforcement backed down in New Mexico because they claimed that the feds were taking over and that was it. The feds were going to lead the entire investigation. And I don't like that because we can't trust the DOJ. We've seen this time and time again. They do more to cover for all of this than actually to be transparent. And for me, I don't like that. And I'm sure the rest of you at home understand the significance as to why we're not fans of the DOJ being anywhere near this investigation. All right, let's keep digging. Because as many of you guys know, there was that report that there was the $5,000 deposit that was made into one of the guards' accounts. Now, the money was apparently given over weeks before Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killed himself. Now, it's interesting because the guard was actually interviewed by the DOJ. And if you're wondering, well, what was asked? Well, hear me out. There was actually no questions related to the deposit, apparently. So the DOJ never even asked this guard as to, well, why did you get $5,000 dropped into your account just prior before the death of Jeffrey Epstein on your watch? And they never even asked. One would assume you'd ask if you were legitimately leading an investigation, but again, doesn't seem to be the case. Now, the Oversight Committee Chairman, James Comer, is apparently going to be having a conversation, or is looking to have a conversation, with that guard. Take a listen to clip 8.
Reports, what you just said is very concerning, especially the suspicious activity report on a $5,000 mysterious deposit that she had. And the reason that stands out to me, Jesse, is because very seldom are suspicious activity reports even reported for sums less than $10,000. So that's a mystery there. And that's something that, according to the DOJ documents, they never looked into, never asked her about. So because of this, because of the media reports, and because of the fact that, honestly, most people on the committee aren't confident 100% that Epstein's death was by suicide, we're going to ask Ms. Noel to come in for a transcribed interview. Again, no one's accusing her of any wrongdoing, but we have a lot of questions about Epstein, questions about who else was involved in abusing girls. Why did the government not do a better job of investigating and prosecuting Epstein when they had a chance years before they finally convicted him? Was Epstein a spy? Was our government involved in any way, shape, or form in trying to destroy evidence or hide evidence from any of those four properties? And now, was Epstein's death a suicide, as the government has reported, or was there some other mysterious factor involved in his death? So, again, no one's accusing this prison guard of any wrongdoing, but I will announce tonight on your show, we are going to ask her to come in and sit for an interview because we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think the American people have a lot of questions that are worth answering, and we look forward to just that. Again, that interview needs to be had. I can't believe the DOJ wouldn't ask those simple questions. It's obviously something that's very concerning and would warrant questions being asked. Again, none of this was ever real. This was never a real investigation. That's quite clear. Again, also, I keep saying again, but Bill Barr was the one who was leading the DOJ at the time. Keep that in the front of your mind for all of this. But when it comes to what it was like from the perspective of a woman who at the time was a girl who was trafficked by Epstein, well, in clip 9, one of those survivors is actually speaking out to talk about how Epstein was getting away with this and what he was actually doing to these young girls when it comes to the lie that he was pushing to get them to come to New York. Take a listen to clip.
So let's just stick to some facts. So when he went to South Africa, to Cape Town, Jeffrey set up like a modeling. Cape Town's a big modeling market where girls travel to work. I did. Right after high school, 1998, in 2003, I went there for 6 months and I worked as a model there. You do magazines and catalogs and TV commercials and you really build your book so that you're worth more when you come back to New York to work as a model. So Epstein, as a fact, set up with his secretaries and his assistants, older assistants that were there, modeling casting where girls would show up and, you know, if he liked a particular one, you know, he got their information, and then later on, he flew them from Cape Town to New York. So, and I know some girls that were involved in that, who were abused on that trip. So let's just say this is a fact that happened. How much did those other men know what was going on? Did he do that in secrecy? And the other men don't really know what's going on around him. So I just find it. My whole point is, I just find it odd that anyone would say, oh, I have no idea what he was doing. Yeah. When this was, he didn't mention the casting. He didn't mention the beautiful young girls that he was meeting there who later were shipped from Cape Town to New York City, shipped to the island, shipped to different places, you know? So this is just the way that he operated.
Sex trafficking 101,
basically,
right there.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
that is sex trafficking. You put someone on a plane and ship them somewhere else, and then
that's it.
They get trapped on the island. Their passports are taken away, and then next minute you're like told to go into this room to have sex with this person.
It's absolutely devastating. And of course, it was allowed to take place because our government turned the other way. They didn't want to look at this. They didn't want to go after this man. I wonder why. Well, we all know why. Folks, are going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, that's 877-789-2539. That is the number you're going to want to call right now to jump on those lines. We'll start taking those calls in about 20 minutes. So again, get on those hold lines and we'll go down the caller list as we do all the time. All right, let's turn to the next topic. I don't know if you saw it. Of course, we don't disclose the actual location of where she's being held, but the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, has relocated from her Washington, D.C. apartment to secure military housing on a base near the Capitol. Now, of course, this is obviously because of a lot of the death threats that are thrown her way and the threats that are also stemming from the drug cartels looking to go and strike back as President Trump goes after them through their own government. I mean, it's real. The threats are real, obviously, against Pam Bondi's life. And so for that, especially because she got the president of Venezuela right now, Nicolas Maduro as well. That's one of the many reasons why she's being held and being housed, I guess you should say, at a military base instead of her own personal apartment complex. So, of course, this is something that's obviously concerning, but it's one of the many layers to all of this. This is something that you're going to have to deal with. I mean, sadly, you have to deal with this because you're going after these cartels who do kill politicians all the time when they don't get their way. And so Pam Bondi's having to sadly flee, which obviously you don't want for her. I obviously disagree with her, and I think she's doing a horrific job, but here we are. Speaking of the DOJ, I want to pivot to this. Ed Martin, who you all know I love and truly think is a real fighter over at the DOJ, and that's why they're trying to push back on him internally. But it's not just that. It's also the DC bar. They're also going after our good friend Ed Martin. They're looking to target him because they're not happy with Ed. They put out like this little detailed report yesterday, pretty much outlining how they're going to go after him. The charges stem from a letter that he sent last year to Georgetown University Law Center. The dean specifically this letter was sent to. It's about the school's diversity, equity, and inclusion program. Now, the bar is threatening to go after him now because of all of this. And they're not very happy with him. The complaint that was put together and was sent their way, by the way, this has been ongoing. This has been about a year now, the bar looking into this. They're saying in the complaint that was issued that Martin violated the First and Fifth Amendment by using his government position to go after and kind of bully, you know, this is how they say from their perspective, Georgetown University. Now, again, Ed Martin's a fighter and they're going after him because he's President Trump's attorney. I can't say this enough. Because he is working with the President of the United States, they don't like Ed, and so they're going to try their very best to push him out of this. And so that's what you see happening right now. It's interesting, too, because Todd Blanche also responded to this report by saying the D.C. Bar is obviously blatantly a Democrat-run political organization. By the way, Todd Blanche was, just a little while back, was a registered Democrat, so keep that also in your mind when you're reading this. Then he goes on to say that, thank God I'm not a member, and trust me, I never will be. Yeah. Because we saw what they did to Rudy Giuliani, to now Ed Martin, and what they're continuing to do to my good buddy Jeff Clark, who, by the way, is no longer working in the White House. It's one of the many layers to all of this. It's the lawfare. It's never ending. And unfortunately, because people are going to keep going out there, guess what? They're going to keep going out there and going after these lawyers. They want to scare lawyers from coming forward and representing the President of the United States. They don't want you to be emboldened to go out there and to follow the Constitution, to go out there and do what is right. And so that's why they're targeting these people. All right, John Solomon is detailing one of his latest reports. And as I always tell you guys, John Solomon, he's got some great sources over at the FBI. In clip 11, you're going to hear from Solomon detailing how FBI employees were the ones to actually warn Cash Patel and tell Cash Patel about the lawfare that was utilized against him. Take a listen to clip 11.
How did Cash find him?
Whistleblowers in most cases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whistleblower agents coming up saying, hey, boss, you don't know this, but when you weren't our boss, we were looking at your phone records. And I think some of these whistleblowers went to Congress, like to Chuck Grassley, the Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman. Some came to Cash Patel. And he has some senior executives. Some of his top executives around him now were aware of these things. And so they're helping him find these things in these hidden files that are called prohibited access files. So it's taken 13, 14 months for the current director to find what's in his own agency.
You know, here's crazy. This is a dumb question, John. Maybe you can help me out here. So FBI has all these investigations going on. Don't they have to report to Congress at all?
No, I don't. I remember all the times that Chuck Grassley said I had oversight letters and no one ever answered me. The first FBI director to really start turning over this information is Cash Patel. He made that promise. He lived up to it. But even he didn't know, like, until just a few weeks ago, he had never heard of Round River. Just think about that. A sensitive investigation involving Hunter Biden and President Trump and the Ukraine scandal. And the FBI director doesn't learn about it. Almost his first year in office is over. That's the sort of secrecy that these investigations have. So Congress, they were in the dark for a long time.
You know, Cash found it. Remember, he found a closet that was locked with a bunch of information a couple of months ago. I mean, there's got to be a lot more, right? There must be so much
there's
more.
Been a few.
And by the way, along those lines, tell us about that. But also, Cash has vowed to close the Hoover Building in D.C. Tell us where that stands as well.
Well, they're in the process of moving to the Reagan Building. There's a transition. Congress has to do some appropriations, which will be in the 27 budget year. But the plans are pretty well made. The decision's been made. Some offices have already been moved over to the Reagan Building, but not the full transition. I think we're about 18 months away, if I remember correctly, from the last budget documents I saw. Now, where were these investigations? They weren't all based in Washington. Round River was based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So some of these were predicated in places far from the Washington, D.C. capital, yet they were run by leadership in Washington. So there may be skiffs in Pennsylvania or California that we don't know about.
Yeah, there might be. There might be. It's interesting, I guess, but what else is going to be done about this? Nothing. I mean, you need the DOJ to comply and to go after these individuals who participated in all of this. And unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to do any of that. So we won't turn that into rage bait for all of you at home. I want to go to clip 12 next, because this is Chuck Schumer talking about the Save America Act. And it's always so funny to listen to Chuck, because He's continuously pushing lies about all of this, and it's lies that unfortunately his ignorant voter base are probably going to be eating up. Take a listen.
Yes, but their bill isn't voter ID, number one. It is about voter registration. It makes it, it allows ICE to kick tens of billions of people off the rolls, and they don't tell them until election day, and you show up and you say, you're not registered anymore. You're not registered here. You're not on the rolls.
Yeah, you know why they wouldn't be on those rolls, Chuck Schumer? And there's a reason why he said the word people. I keep pointing this out. Because they're not American citizens. They're not American citizens. You want to talk about purging people off the rolls? Yeah, we're purging those who are not U.S. citizens. No American will be affected by this. It will be non-U.S. citizens affected by this. And again, they keep using the word people because people isn't Americans. And many in their base won't understand that. It's not a mistake that all the Democrats now are saying people rather than Americans. We want people to have health care in this country. We don't want people taken off the voter rolls. They're not American citizens. They're openly advocating for the illegal invaders who have come into this country. By the way, they brought them in. Not only did they come in through our border, but they actually put out charter flights to bring them on in to this country, shift them all around the country to change the demographics in this country. Why? Well, because obviously elections, elections. People can't read, people can't write, people don't have an education. They brought them in by the millions, and it was intentional because those people can't, well, they can't feed themselves. They need the system. They need to be leeches to the system. And so it's all about increasing the welfare state of this country so that those individuals need Democrats and they will continue to vote for them. Again, it's advocacy for illegals to weigh in our elections. And if they don't get the direct vote, well, we'll just alter the censor. We'll just make sure that when the census goes out, that these people are tossed into that. And so we have more House seats for these illegal invaders. And bam, we'll take them away from red states. It's genius. It's genius. If you hate this country. But that's the plan. And it's not even just to listen to their own words and you see it. You see right through it. This isn't even debatable. They tell you what they're doing. All right, TMZ put out a story. And by the way, TMZ is owned by Fox Corp. I was privately texting people about this yesterday because I don't think people realize that. They were purchased, I think, maybe 2 years ago. But TMZ is claiming that the Department of War, they wrote DOD, but it's not DOD, it's the Department of War, that Pete Hegseth apparently needed to spend to keep their current funding moving forward. So he apparently signed off, this is what they're detailing, on $6.9 million in lobster tail, $2 million for Alaskan king crab, over $15 million for ribeye steaks, $1 million for salmon, $140,000 for donuts. I don't, shouldn't be eating those. And he also allegedly spent $124,000 on ice cream machines. Now, I did ask, and I did give them a new deadline, so you have to follow me on X. If they do respond, I'll post it there. I did ask the Pentagon, though, specifically, if they could put this into context a little bit for us. We can understand where these numbers are coming from and what they specifically refer to in all of this. Because obviously, you know, I'm a carnivore, and I do love me a good ribeye steak. But $15 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And where are you getting, is that Japanese Wagyu? I mean, $15 million is a lot of cash to throw at this. But almost $7 million in lobster tail? I don't know. I think the way that we feed our military, we give them crappy food. My dad's always talking about it when he served in Vietnam, the crap they gave him. But he was not ungrateful. He was just grateful for our meal. And so there you go. Got him. We got him. I don't think Pete Hegseth is going to go anywhere near those $140,000 in donuts either. And I don't think he wants his service members doing that either. I mean, this is the guy who's pushing for everyone to get in shape and to stop being a bunch of fat asses. So I don't see him touching that. But the $124,000 apparently spent on ice cream machines. I said it before. I want to know where those ice cream machines are. As many of you know, I'm a Pentagon reporter. And so I'm going to have to do some investigative work into all of this. I look forward to doing just that. Maybe in 3 weeks. Head on over to D.C. search for the ribeyes, search for the lobster tail. They've got to have it somewhere. I mean, that's freezer. You got to freeze, though. That's a lot of meat. But most importantly, you know, when I worked in Major League Baseball, I was assigned to go to I covered the World Baseball Classic. This was years ago, probably 10 years now. And covering in Miami was my favorite thing. Why? I love doing the Marlins games, and I love being at their park. Because the media room, not only did it have unlimited popcorn, and by far it was the best popcorn I've ever had, but most importantly, they had an ice cream machine. And it's probably the reason why I gained a ton of weight. But I was at that ice cream machine every day for the World Baseball Classic. And it was great ice cream. So hopefully it's not at the Pentagon, those ice cream machines, because if I get a hold of those ice cream machines, it's definitely going to be an issue. But no, folks, I'm going to dig into this to see what they're really spending this money. Again, it comes from TMZ. They were the ones pushing a lot of nonsense. So I just want to make sure before we go out there and just totally bash these agencies that it's 100% real. All right, let's get to this story as well. If you're a veteran, you're going to want to know about this one. There's a report out right now, and it says that the Department of Veteran Affairs plans to launch an AI-powered fraud detection system for the fiscal year 2026. It's going to scan more than a million disabled benefits in their questionnaires that were submitted since 2010. This is all according to their report. Now, they're looking for those who maybe fabricated certain things. They've got key pieces of language that they believe might be fabricated that they're going to be searching through. And they're going to find, if any of our veterans decided to maybe take an extra couple of dollars, they're going to find you. They're going to find you. They'll go after them extensively, but we still don't know who's going to be leading that division at the DOJ that's specifically supposed to look into the fraud. You know, the foreigners who are stealing millions and millions and billions of dollars from you. Let's go after the vets. Maybe if you're lying about PTSD, we'll give you PTSD. It'll just be lawfare PTSD when we decide to go after you for maybe misleading us on a questionnaire. And we'll yank your benefits. You might get prison time too. So we hope this isn't true. But again, they are still using AI to legally scan your bank records to figure out over the IRS. Did you not claim that $601? Well, we're going to toss you in prison. That's where we are as a country right now. They're using AI, they're weaponizing against the American people, and they're going to go after our vets. Stupidity is out of control in this country right now. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just a moment. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, 877-789-2539 if you want to talk about any of these stories, especially veterans, if you want to sound off on possibly, you know, AI being utilized to target you and your disabled benefits. That's a big one. That is a massive, massive one. So join the wait list if you guys would like to call. We'll be taking those calls literally in 5 minutes. All right, folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March mega sale going on right now, up to 40% off your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the Globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexhorton.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
I'm gonna go to the store.